Okay, we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 22. We are starting from verse 1.
If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep.
Somebody steals ox or a sheep. Here he says, now only stealing and selling something or killing something is a more penalty. He says that he should be giving 5 oxen for one and 4 sheep for one. But if you read the verse 4, please read. You can read 2 to 4.
If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft.
Is another rule, if the thief is breaking in your house and maybe it's dark or something and you try to hit him and that person got killed, so there is no penalty for the person who killed him. That rule is still today. If somebody comes to your house and to try to take something and you kill him, then you don't get the penalty. But verse 3 says, when the thief was stealing something and there was a light or a daytime, and then if you kill that person, then you will have penalty. The same way today also, if somebody comes to your yard or something and you see the daylight and you kill that person, you'll be guilty. So he said, if he comes in the nighttime and you didn't see him and you killed him, then there is no penalty. But if he is daytime and you find him with the things, then that person who got the things, he should restore back. And if he doesn't have money to give up what he was taking, then he said, you sell that thief to somebody, to some master, and get some money, and that's to your restoration. And verse 4, please read.
If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double.
Now here he's saying, if the thief was stealing something in daytime or something, and he did not kill anything, or he did not sell anything, and the things were in his hand, and the penalty is only he should give double. And see, in the first verse we saw, it said if he steals something and kills or sells, then he should give 5-fold oxen and 4-fold sheep. And that was the law at that particular time. And if you remember, Zacchaeus got saved. And what Zacchaeus said, go to the Luke chapter 19, verse 8 to 10.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
See, he said, I'm going to give him fourfold. But at the same time, he says, giving half of his property to the charity. And if he remembers that he has stolen something from somebody, then he will give fourfold. So that was the law. If you have taken or used it or sell it or kill it, that was the law. Verse 5.
If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution.
Somebody will say, who will do such a thing? But there are some people. They go to somebody's field and they take the oxen and let the somebody's field be eaten or grapes, and they shall walk away. And person will not notice. But here he's saying, if you do something like that, then you should give the best of your field and best of your vineyard, because you cannot go allow your bulls or goats or sheep going and eating somebody's field or eating somebody's vineyard, that person should be giving restoration. Verse 6.
If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution.
Now, this is a good law, but sometimes accident can happen. But he says if he started a fire in his yard or his field, and the fire went to somebody's field, then that person should be giving the restoration. Today, people burning somebody's house and building somebody's buildings and things like that, and they don't give any restoration. They sometimes, if you find them, they put them in a jail, but the person who lost everything, that person doesn't get anything. But this Jewish law was very good. Person will be very careful. If he kindled the fire, he should be careful that fire should not go to neighbor. And if he does, and if neighbor suffers, then this person should be giving restoration. Verse 7.
If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double.
Now here is sometimes we do something like this. If a neighbor going to some vacation and he has some special items or some kind of jewelry or something, he will give the neighbor, or some money, you hold it until I come. You trust the neighbor, but at the same time, the thief comes to the neighbor's house and then he steals. Then if you find that whoever stole the items, that person should give double restoration. Verse 8.
If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor.
Now, this law is still today. If neighbor have dispute about anything, they go to the judge, and then they tell the judge what happened, and then judge finds out what party is telling the truth and what party really needs the money, and according to that the judge gives the judgment, and whatever the judgment judge gives, then the person has to be agree with and do it. He cannot do anything about it, because sometimes you do favor to somebody and the same time the thief comes and takes it, and if it's not your fault, you lost. But they said if you find somebody, the thief or somebody, or that thief is not found, then the person gets suspicious that you sold my items or you took it, and they start fighting. He said, go to the court. And when you go to the court, whatever the judge gives judgment, and then you have to be settled with his judgment. Verse 10.
If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep and to die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good.
Now here is simple. He says if the man gives something to his neighbor, maybe or ox or sheep and something like that, and he was keeping for them, and that dies or get hurt or running away or something, those people should be in between, make an oath to God, and say if he didn't do it, and if that thing died naturally or ran away, then it's not my fault, and then according to their oath, they should settle between themselves. Verse 12.
And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof.
And but he said, if he's sure that somebody is stolen from the person you gave it to him, then he has to give restitution. From this, it's very simple. If you don't trust anybody, don't give your stuff to that person, because that person is not honest. Verse 13.
If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn.
And if he says that he gave the animal or something to keep it, vicious animal came and killed that, means his animal, then he has to bring the proof. And once the proof is given, then the judge will say, okay, that is not his fault. So then you should not be charging him anything because that is not his fault. Verse 14.
And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed...
No. That's okay. This is two different subjects. He says, if a man borrows from his neighbor something, and whatever he borrowed, that thing got hurt or died, then he doesn't have to give anything to the owner, just like you already paid him something to get something. Sometimes you say, okay, I'll take use your ox or use your car, and here is my down payment, and something got wrong, means the animal died, then you don't have to give anything because you already gave him some kind of deposit or some kind of money. Read verse 15 again.
But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire.
And he says, if that time the man who gave something to the other person who borrowed from him, and they were together, and that same time something died or hurt, got hurt, then the person who borrowed, he doesn't have to give anything because he said that is his profit and he already saw it, so he's not guilty. Verse 16.
And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins.
Now here is a good law at that particular time. He says, if a young man entice a virgin, that lady was never married, she was virgin, and he makes a friendship with that girl, and they willingly got married. So the father comes and says, hey, first of all, if father says, okay, you spoiled my daughter, and now you paid the dowry, and this girl is yours, and you get married. But the father is not agree. Father says, I didn't want to give my daughter to you, and you spoiled my daughter. I'm not going to give it to you. So that man should give the money to father, and daughter also give it back to him. And that was the law. Verse 18.
Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Now this is a very small sentence. It says, witch is in your country, you should not allow that witch to do witchcraft. That means you kill her. Not only tell her to get out of our town or not to do it, but simply kill the witch. And if somebody kills the witch, I think they would not have any penalty for that person, because the witches are against God. They are doing everything against God. So if anyone doing witchcraft in those days, those people should be killed. But today, there are so many witches, and they're doing advertisements on TV and everything, and nobody does anything. That's why our land is polluted. Verse 19.
Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrifices unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed.
Now here he says, if any person lies with a beast, any kind of beast, that person should be put to death. But today some people are advertising and they're doing this kind of business. But in olden days, those people will be put to death. Read verse 20 one more time.
He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed.
Yeah. Again, this just like a witch. He says, if somebody sacrifice to other god, any kind of sacrifice, and not to the real God, that person also surely to put to death. So you can see how tough law was. If anybody going after another God, they didn't say bring that person to the judge or let's have judgment. You find that person, you kill that person, and there won't be any penalty. Verse 21.
Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry.
Now here, the strangers, the widows, and fatherless, all these people, we should not be giving them hard time. He says, if the stranger comes to you, you should take care of him. That's why the word of God says, entertain strangers. But today's society, it's very difficult to entertain the strangers. But you should do as much as possible. If somebody has a need and he's a stranger in the land, we should help him. Or somebody's a widow or fatherless child, we should help them. But some people, if somebody's widow or child is fatherless, they take advantage of those people and try to do something wrong to them. And the word of God says, if those people try to call upon God and complain to God, Lord, I'm a stranger in this land and see how these people are treating me. And I'm widow and I'm fatherless and see how these people are afflicting me and or giving me a hard time. God says, I will hear from heaven and I will punish you. Verse 24.
And my wrath shall wax hot and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless.
See, that's why Jewish people take care of their people. You do not see Jewish people beggars on the street. Some people might be homeless and they don't tell, but I do not see anywhere Jewish people and Farsi. Farsi has the same law in India. You will not see Farsi people begging or poor. They have a society. They will find out if somebody's widow, they will all gather together and start the business or something for her. Or if somebody lost the business or lost the job, they will go and help that person. And the Jewish people do the same. They do not want any their people, Jewish people, suffering or begging for bread or asking somebody help. He says, if you don't help them, then God will punish you. Verse 25.
If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down.
Now, here are two things he is saying. If your brother or your relatives or neighbor or somebody ask you money, lend me money, you should not charge him interest. If you're lending money, you should not charge interest. Or somebody says, you know what, I need some money, but if you don't trust me, here is my blanket or here is my jacket, or here is my clothes for collateral. And so you take it, but before the sun goes down, you give it back, because it might be winter time. They might need some clothes, they might need some garments, so give it back to them right away. If you don't do, then God will punish you. Verse 27.
For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious.
God is concerned about poor people. What I used to do, not only people sometimes say, I need this and I keep something for collateral. I said, no, I don't need anything. If they borrow a shoes, I will never take it back. If they borrow umbrella, I will never take it back. They will borrow shirt, I will not take it back. Because sometimes they don't have it, and when they use it, and you have to use it back, and I feel bad when I give it to them, and if they're giving back, I said, no, take it. And that's why God blessed me. Whenever I go to India, I take so many shirts and so many pants and so many clothes, And when we have a baptism service or something, I give them undershirts and shirts and pants and everything. And so God has blessed me, because the word of God says there are poor people, they don't have anything. Some people come to take baptism without a undershirt in the summertime, you know, they just come. But I tell them to don't go naked in the water. We give them the undershirts and we give them the cloth. Verse 28.
Thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people.
Now, this translation is wrong. If you have a New King James translation there. So here it says, we should not give any respect to the heathen gods, but our God. We should not be giving respect to the other rulers or other people who are doing their rituals. We should give respect to our pastors, our ministers. And if somebody reads this and do not understand, then they will say, oh, somebody doing idol worship. That's okay, because our Bible says don't do any harm to them. We should not be bothering them. But that's not the meaning comes. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
So here the people you give respect, who are looking for your soul, who are worshiping the real God, those are the people you should respect, not the heathens. Verse 29. Go back to the Exodus chapter 22, verse 29.
Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me.
Now here also we see, he says, you should not be delaying offering your first fruits, ripe fruits. And he says liquors. And so somebody says, okay, we have to give offering as a liquor to God. It should not be word liquor, it should be a word juices, fruit juice. So God is saying first fruits and their juices is given to God the same way your first sons should be dedicated to the Lord. Verse 30.
Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me.
Now here also saying, your oxen, you cannot give donkey to God. You cannot give pig to God. So oxen and sheep and a good animal, he said, if the firstborn keep 7 days, I think after 7 days you separate that and give it to the Lord. Verse 31.
And ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs.
Is torn by the vicious animal, your ox, a sheep. He says, don't eat. If that kind of animal, you should be given to the dogs. Sometimes people take the hunting dog, and the hunting dog, they catch some animal and they might be kill the animal. And those animal, the word of God says you should not be eating. Now, the dog bites, the dog had poison. Any animal bites any animal and try to kill that animal, that poison should be in that animal's body. And if you eat that animal, you might get sick or you might die. So all the rules are given to the is for your safety and for your good. And so we see in this Exodus, starting from chapter 19, and now we came to chapter 22. All these chapters are given for the safety and protection and restoration for the children of God, because Moses would not know what to do if the people break the law. One man just went, we will be learning later on, one man just went in the Sabbath day to gather the stick, and everybody complained. This man went outside and gathered the sticks. Moses didn't know how to deal with that. So he went to God and said, Lord, what should I do? And God says, kill that person. And then they came to know, if somebody breaks the Sabbath, that person should be killed. And so all these rules and regulations are given in the Old Testament. And so those people will not abide by the law, they will be killed. But somebody says for us, what should we do? What we should be doing, whatever the government laws are given to us, we should abide. If you don't abide by the government law, then we will be guilty. Whatever is belong to Caesar, give it to Caesar. Then whatever is belong to God, you give it to God. Jesus Christ says, what is belong to God is tithes, an offering you do. And what is belong to Caesar, you give it to Caesar. So we are learning these laws, even though those laws, some of them laws are still in our book, and some the governments are doing according this. But now there are Muslim people coming to America, and they want Sharia law. And Germany and Europe and some of the courts, they are using those laws. But our laws are based on the Bible. Most of the laws are in America. They are based on the Bible. Whatever we are reading this, exactly our government is doing today. And so we have to abide by the law, and God will bless us. Sometimes some of the laws were very difficult. Today we cannot kill somebody who is not worshiping the living God. Can we? No. We kill somebody, you are a witch, we'll go to jail. But in those days, if they kill the witch, and if it's proven that that's a witch, they will not go to jail, or nobody will kill them. And that's the way they destroy the witches. You remember Saul also killed the witches, and then when God was not talking to him, he went to witch. And he said, could you bring the Samuel? Now in that, so many people are confused in that teaching. Some people said Samuel really came, but I believe Samuel didn't come. What happened here, when she's trying to call Samuel, the devil took the Samuel's appearance, and he comes, and then lady says, oh, he's a Samuel, so you are Saul. He said, don't worry, don't worry. And then Samuel gives the message, and Samuel says, you're going to die, and you're going to come with me tonight. And so he died, but the devil told half of the truth and half of the lie. First thing, the Samuel was a child of God. The word of God said, when we die, we go to in the presence of God. So once you go to the presence of God, one way you are resting in peace, and you are not tormented with a worldly thing. Second thing, devil has no authority to bring any child of God. Devil has no power. And so devil cannot bring it. Third thing, the devil saying, today you will be with me. Samuel was not in hell. He cannot say to the Saul, today you will be with me. Because Saul committed a crime, going to witches, promoting witch. So he should be killed. And when he got killed, he should be going to hell, not to heaven. So how can Samuel say, you will be with me and you will be coming with me? So when you study that properly, then we can say that it was not a real Samuel. It was the devil. And how the devil does, there is another proof. Devil is the accuser of the brethren. Devil keeps the record of lie, wrong thing you do. And the devil will find out something, and then he say, hey, you did this wrong thing. You cannot go to church. You did this and you did that. And he wants to bring the people to his side. You remember Moses disobeyed God. When God says to Moses, hit the rock and water will come. One time hit the rock, water came. Next time God says, speak to the rock and water will come. This time Moses was angry and he hit the rock twice and the water came. And the word of God says, now you disobey me, you are not going to see the promised land. So what happened when Moses died and the angel was going to bury Moses? Here comes the satanic angel and they start fighting with him. And the word of God says, Michael came and rebuked the devil. The point I'm making, when you do something against the will of God, the devil wants to come and tell you that you belong to me. So here, Saul went to which devil comes and tells everything against the word of God and tells him, today you die and you will be with me. Actually, Saul went to hell. He did not go to heaven according to his deeds. And Samuel could not come and talk to him. Why? Because he went to the priest. Priest did not answer. I'm talking about Saul. And Saul prayed to God. He did not answer. And so Samuel was not there. So he going to which? So how can somebody goes to the pastor, go to the church, and they don't listen? And then if that person goes to the witchcraft and they listen, then we are promoting witch business, right? So if somebody says that was a real Samuel and a real way he said Saul died, it was true, then we are promoting people to go to witches. Many pastors argued with me, but I give them the right example. This was not the Samuel. This was the form of Samuel. Because the word of God says, devil takes the form of the angel and sometimes deceives you. And so, here we see some of the rules and regulations are given, and we are going to read them more. We are going to pray and close it, and I'll ask you if you have any questions. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate on it, and so we can learn more. Give us grace to understand your Word. And there are so many people who do not know the truth. We would like to learn it and give it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, have any questions?